Hallelujah. Well done, Christine. I had no idea you were going to dress up like that. You did good. You look good. Yeah. Way to go, Ray. You just went to the head of the class. Hebrews 10. If you would, Hebrews 10, starting in verse 11. All right. Now this is talking about Jesus' high priesthood. Hebrews 10, verse 11. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Do you remember him saying, "Be perfect because I'm perfect"? It's not something that you have to do. He's done it. He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Are you being sanctified?
Yes.
You were and you will be. It's an ongoing thing, so now and future. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Oh, if you need anything to be thankful for, it's right there. "I will remember their sins and lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin," because there's no need for it, right? "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he has opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near." Oh, thank you for your word, Lord. Isn't that an amazing passage? So full of the hope and the promise of God. He has absolutely got everything answered. He is our all in all. And he made this stand once for all. There is a saying that is becoming more and more prevalent in society, and that's one and done. You ever heard it? It came from basketball. 2006, the new contract between the players and the owners, they had Article 10 was that any player or any prospective player must have a year out of high school or be 19 years of age. So it's and at that point, 2006, the young men started playing a year of college basketball and then going right to the NBA. And so they one and done. You don't have to go for 4 years. You're one and done. That's where it came from. But one and done has become just kind of a part of society these days. Drinking straws are one and done. You know, those plastic straws, one and done. You throw them right away. Diapers, one and done. Thank God. And you put them into a big black bag at the back, which is also one and done. But Jesus is also a one and done. You see what we were reading there is that every priest, the priests, the priesthood in the old covenant would go and make sacrifices of bulls and rams and sheep and, you know, just they would make them every day. There would be blood sacrifice for the sins of the people. But it was inefficient because it would only deal with the sins that had been committed to that point in time. And if you live through a day, there's a good chance you're going to sin again. And so tomorrow you need to take another something to the priest to get it dealt with. And how inefficient all of that is. And how wasteful. But God's making a point there. Like God's the God of the Jews, right? He doesn't waste a darn thing. This is all about, you guys are never going to run out of the need for blood sacrifice. And it sounds so inhumane now. It sounds so wasteful. And how could we do that? The blood of the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? Now, I heard Benjamin Netanyahu say that they are ready to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Now, that's been coming for quite a while. But why would that be happening? Because there's no longer a need for the sacrifice. The sacrifice that Jesus made was once for all, for not only the sins of the past, but all of the sins of the future. It was so efficacious. Is that a good word? Effective for all of the people of all of the time that once was enough. Amazing. Amazing what God had. The Bible says that the dual role of high priest and sacrifice was affected by Jesus. So he was high priest. He made the sacrifice. He offered the sacrifice. But yet he was the sacrifice. Amazing. He acted as high priest once, and it was done. He offered a sacrifice once himself, and it was done. Typically, the temple priests are never one and done. They're always acting as priests and always offering sacrifice for sins, including their own sins. So Jesus, who is our one-and-done priesthood, was special, an unusual arrangement. Every single priest, every one of us who are now a kingdom of priests, would not be able to offer ourselves as a sacrifice. Because Romans 3:23 says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It had to be a perfect sacrifice. What Ray was talking about there, the perfect lamb sacrificed for us. He was the perfect sacrifice. No question. There wasn't a blemish on him. He's the only one that lived that way. He never broke a law. And so he was the only one that could become the sacrifice that we need. Jesus came to earth once, and it was done. Jesus died once, and it was done. Jesus was raised once, and it was done. Jesus lives and reigns. That's not done. That's ongoing. And we get to be a part of that. So cool. The writer of Hebrews, my personal favorite for who wrote Hebrews is Barnabas, but that's neither here nor there. I'll tell you why if you're ever interested. But the what they would call the bullock on the altar was Jesus. The priest entering the holy place is Jesus returning to his place with the Father. The blood that the priest brought to the most holy place is Jesus' own blood. Once a year, the high priest would go behind the veil and sprinkle blood on the altar. The blood that had been sacrificed. This perfect bullock would be sacrificed and he would sprinkle that on the altar. Jesus' blood was sprinkled on the altar for us, for each of us. This is all about Thanksgiving and why we have so much to be thankful for. We tend to be a people who more and more we're entitled, or we are jealous, or we are looking for more and more, and forget the thankfulness side of things. We think that because we have so much, and because we live with so much, and because we've become accustomed to so much, more is just a part of it. But more is not a part of what we truly get to be thankful for. You were on a path to spend eternity in hell. But because of what Jesus has done and the sacrifice that he made as the high priest, we don't have to go to hell anymore. We get to go on the stairway to heaven. How come there's a highway to hell and a stairway to heaven? Give you an idea about, yeah, well, it's more people going to hell. We got to stop that. we got some work to do here. But being thankful is such an important part of it. You know, we have so much to be thankful for, and we don't have to go past this chapter. We don't have to look any further. We don't have to, oh, well, when I get my boat, then I'll be thankful, or when I'm retired, then I'll be thankful. Or when I get my next meal, then I'll be thankful. You know what? No. Thankfulness is a way of life. So we don't, you know, one day a year is nice to be reminded, but it's a way of life for us. We have so much to be thankful and joyful for. Oh. So looking at what we've just read, Paul, or Barnabas, or whoever wrote the Hebrews, in verse 19 says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have a confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus," the therefore is a point for us to reckon with, because everything that goes before a therefore is for context and foundation, right? So you set everything up. This is what we're talking about, and this is how it's important. Therefore, and so the point is coming up. And so what is the therefore? Therefore. Well, you've heard that before, right? So, if I'm boring, you just let me know. The therefore is therefore. First, let's hang on hard. That's what he says, hold fast to our faith in verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. It cost Jesus his life. Let's hold on fast to our faith in Christ without wavering. There are so many things to catch our attention out there. So many things to get us distracted. So many things to get us isolated and on our own and not being part of a community of believers where we can encourage and lift up each other, where we can help each other to do the right thing and call each other to a gentle and loving account, right? Where we can be together and grow in Christ. Let us all hold on without wavering. So then, let's remember that because Jesus is a one-and-done Savior, he's entered the holy place, as it were, we can now approach God ourselves without the benefit of an earthly, mortal, corruptible priest. God is approachable. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Everybody up until the time of Jesus could not go into that place. One man a year would with trepidation enter that place. Now we, as the children of God, get to go into his very presence without concern for an evil conscience. Whatever it is you've done. I mean, I don't think many of you have an evil conscience. But whatever it is, you don't have to worry about it. You can run in to that place, talk to God himself directly with nobody in between you and him, and tell him exactly what you want to say. You don't have to go in with a pre-rehearsed cue card. That's a good word, cue card. You don't have to go in with a whole litany of things to say. You could just go in and say, Daddy, Abba, Father, I want to be with you. I want to be on your knee, and I want to get a little loving today. Give me a little sugar. What an opportunity that many of us go through a day and don't even take advantage of. It's so easy to be thankless when we don't consider what it is that he bought for us. How we now, looking back at the cross, have become so used to it. Well, I can pray anytime. Well, you know, your brother Moses or Abraham or your sister Sarah, they could never do what you can do. They would have given anything in their lives to be able to talk to God directly and know that he would hear them. And we take it for granted. Oh, yeah, I'll get around to praying. Oh, good. Amazing. Next, we can remember that God is faithful. Verse 23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for, here it is, for he who promised is faithful. God will do what God has promised to do. He's gonna, if he's given you a promise, and the Bible is full of promises, if he's given you a promise there, or when Peter Kumar comes and gives you a prophecy, a promise from God, when other prophetic ministers, people in our own midst have spoken the word of God to us. Like this morning when Amanda was singing, she was singing, I am your hope. That was directly from God. His promise to you is in this season when you're needing a hope, he's there. He's there. He is there for us. He is our hope. And he is faithful. Faithful to complete the things that he started in us. Faithful to complete every promise that he's made. He will see it through to completion. Whoever wrote this, the scripture that we're reading, I say that because there's controversy in the church about it, about did Paul write it or did somebody else write it? Well, Paul wrote this way. This guy, whoever did this, didn't write that way. It's, you know, and so we're not sure. It wasn't signed like some of them are. I, Paul, am bringing this to you, or this is a letter from Peter. This one doesn't have any of that. And so we don't know who's actually written it. But whoever it was, I am so grateful to them. And someday I'm going to say thank you. He says to us that because of what Jesus has done, this one and done ministry, we should help to inspire other people to do loving things. Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. Provoke one another to love and good deeds. That's in verse 24. When we think of the word provoke, we usually hear it in a negative sense. But one dictionary that I looked up said it's to stir up, to arouse, or to call forth feelings or desires or activity, to incite or stimulate into action, to give rise to, induce, or bring about. We're called to be provokers. That doesn't mean pokers, you know. Doesn't mean to do it demanding something, but to be provocateurs. How can I have you feel that you are loved and give love away? Give love away. How can I show you the value of good deeds? Well, sometimes it's us doing the good deeds. And so that provokes other people around. Well, I see the people working hard back there to feed us. Can I be a help there? That provokes me to good works. I see people greeting one another, people that they've never met before, saying, hi, how are you doing? That provokes me to want to be hospitable. It provokes me. It's not, I'm not demanding. You need to meet people at the back and make sure they feel welcome. We don't do that. We do it out of love and good deeds, and we provoke one another to that kind of service. It's so awesome. One way to love each other is to learn their love language. If you haven't read that book, it's okay. Essentially, they say that each of us has probably all of the love language, but one of them particularly is usually prevalent in our lives, and we, when we receive that love language, we feel loved and we want to love, give it away. So the five love languages are words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. Those are the five. And so if mine was act of service, then this water that was brought to me would fill my love tank. Somebody brought me water. They cared enough to give me water. Bob usually does that every day, but I have a friend that brings me water now when I preach. So if that was my love language, I would feel loved and want to love everybody else. My love tank is filled up. So we can notice that about each other, and we can give away love and provoke one another to love. Now, in provoking one another, there's lots of reasons that we don't do it. We're too busy, or that's just not who I am. Or I just don't think that way. But God doesn't say in His Word that everybody's to love and provoke one another to good deeds, except the ones that don't really feel like it, and the ones that are too busy, and the ones that just aren't made that way. He calls us all to do it. Like, it might hurt, but we're going to have to actually do a little thinking about this. And to help each other build a community together. So, one way is to leave notes for each other. Like, imagine what this place would be like if everybody was going home this week and they thought, Lord, who is it that you want me to pray for this week? Who in our congregation, who in our little community would you have me pray specifically for this week? And would you give me a word for them this week? And sometime during the week, you write down a little scripture or a little encouragement, and you just hand it to them or put it in their jacket pocket or something that just lifts the person up. How would that be? Like, is that really hard to do? Actually thinking about another person sometime during the week? I mean, doesn't fit with selfies, but there's a thought there. Forsake not the meeting together. It says, verse 25, not neglecting to meet together is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day, in my way of thinking, is drawing near. So more and more I want to provoke every one of you to see each other, to see one another, and to love and provoke to good deeds everyone around us. Not that one or two would do all the work, but that we would function as a community, and we'd see everyone's spirits lifted through this time. It would be so wonderful.